Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Andrew Mays with you for your Thursday morning, August 9, 2018, as we build up to another big sporting weekend, pointing into the season for both major codes in Australia, and a couple of big announcements too. We'll get to Billy Slater and his retirement in just a second, but first of all, to the AFL world and Adam Simpson defending the way yesterday West Coast have handled the Andrew Gaff situation.
Obviously, there's been a bit going on, and in the last month, there's probably been three or four instances that have been quite public, and you know, we've had to deal with it. I think, if anything, the resolve amongst the players and the football club's really strong. You know, there's really good unity within the four walls, and you know, we're still staying on task. You know, we sit second on the ladder, and we've got a really good opportunity to finish top four. So, you know, the unity's been really strong, and there's a bit of a sanctuary within the club, which the players know when they come, they've got our support, and that's the same with our staff as well.
Well, let's go to some good news now. Sean Higgins here on his surgery last week.
I was waiting at the airport, and I was just sitting there and literally locked up. So I've had similar thing in the past with the other knee and had that cleaned out a number of years ago. So, look, surgery wasn't ideal, but given what the scan showed, I definitely needed that if I was to play out the remainder of the year.
And one of the biggest stories in the NRL this year has been Billy Slater, whether he would play on or not. And unfortunately, we've only got about 7 weeks of Billy to come. Yesterday, officially announcing his retirement at the end of the season.
For 16 years, I've had the pleasure to play in the NRL. However, this will be my last, as I will be retiring at season's end. I feel so very lucky to have had the career I've had. 18 years ago, I made a decision to pack my car up and drive 20 hours to chase my dream. 4 months later, this club, the Melbourne Storm, gave me that opportunity.
Billy Slater, we'll hear more from him in just a second. Plenty to come on The Breakfast Bite. Let's get started.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Sean Grigg from Richmond will be in the inner sanctum this morning from 7 o'clock, so make sure you're listening to The Breakfast Club after 6. We'll head to England early as well with Andrew McGlashan. Check in on how the Ben Stokes case is tracking and also England's preparation for the second test against India, which starts tonight, Australian time. Scotty Gullen with all your latest footy news from 7.30. Ben Stratton from the Hawks after 8 this morning, along with Robbie Gray, superstar from Port Adelaide, after their very close loss in the showdown last week. Looking forward to what Robbie has to say, and looking forward to what he has to say about the goal review system too. That will be some good listening indeed. So stick around all the way throughout the morning. Let's start with the footy news. And as you heard, Adam Simpson defending the way West Coast have handled the last month or two at the club. Now to his thoughts on Andrew Gaff and how he's, one, been treated, and two, handled the situation himself over the last week or so.
Ross mentioned it last night. There's no winners out of this one. And, you know, obviously our thoughts with Andrew Brayshaw and his family and how they're all feeling. But we also need to be aware of Andrew Gaff and how he's feeling now. And you know, the next step for us as a club is to put our arms around him and make sure mentally he's in the right space. And he'll have a break for a couple of days in Melbourne, and we'll get him back over here next week and work on his mental health. He's got family and friends around, and you know, he's got our support, and he knows he's made a terrible mistake, and you know, we've acknowledged that from the beginning, and he's owned that responsibility. And now it's about moving forward in taking small steps, I suppose. His season's over, and that's something he's got to get his head around. And, you know, we're on a plane tomorrow as well. We've got Port Adelaide on Saturday, so we need to really focus ourselves on what we need to do as well. So it's a fine balance, but our eyes are definitely on both at the moment.
Now to Adam Simpson, who spoke about brother Hamish of Andrew Brayshaw, who is part of the West Coast list at the moment.
Yeah, well, they're pretty good friends, and you know, they socialised together a little bit, and I spoke to Hamish after the game and spoke to him again on Monday just to make sure he's okay, and he is, and he understands the situation. And you know, the whole Brayshaw family, the way they've handled things has been exceptional, and you know, I'm not surprised really. I know them quite well, and yeah, a little bit different having the brother at the football club, and you know, we understand if there was some animosity there, but there's not, and you know, they're moving on as well.
To the Fremantle side of things, Lee Spur announced his retirement yesterday. I bet you he didn't think his retirement press conference would all be about someone else. He, of course, was asked the inevitable question about Andrew Brayshaw and his return to the footy club.
Yeah, I bumped into him this morning. First thing he said to me was, he's so sorry he couldn't make it here this morning. The sort of kid he is. He goes, I couldn't make it. I was a spewing. I wish I could have come and come seen you say goodbye to the boys. He's a great kid and he's got a high calibre. But he's in good spirits. He'll go home and see his family. I've broken my jaw before, not to the severity that he had, so I sort of got a bit of empathy for what he's going through. So it's good for the skinnies, mate. He was trimmed down a bit. I said, drink through the straw. But I said, he'll come back bigger and stronger and he'll come back fine. He's a really good kid and we've got a great support network here.
You heard from Sean Higgins at the top of the show as well on his surgery. Now he was asked about the punch and outlawing that from the game. This is the North Melbourne superstar midfielder's thoughts.
Players need to lead that charge and the AFL needs to lead that charge as well because it's mainly in their hands of what the outcome would be as a result of punches being thrown. So clearly we don't want to see that in the game. And like you said, there's a number of things that happen off ball as well. And I think we can get better at looking after that player and trying to eliminate the brain fades on the back of that.
Should be mandatory if you throw a punch, you get suspended.
Well, I think it's probably going to get to that stage. Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that. And we probably went down that path 12 to 18 months ago, didn't we? And then we've sort of backtracked a little bit for whatever reason. So I would imagine that most players and the AFL and clubs would agree that there's no place in the game for punches being thrown. Oh, well, it's not okay because you still get fined.
Yeah.
But whether that fine now needs to turn into suspension, that's something that the AFL look at. I think punching we can definitely eradicate from the game. Look, bumping and trying to get mentally on top of the opposition and physically trying to impose yourself is still part and parcel of the game, but definitely there's a line there. And it's probably been crossed a number of times this year.
Sean Higgins there on the punch. Now to Diesel Williams. Greg Williams, the superstar from Carlton, Sydney and Geelong, had his say on the taggers in the game, and maybe that needs to stop rather than the punches.
I think the niggling's a pain in the ass for everyone. You know, I really do. I think the way players and good players get niggled and pushed and shoved and, you know, it's so one of there's not more of them, really. I really think the niggling's a real pain in footy. I really do. It's over the top, deluxe. It's the old story, but I just think it's still shouldn't be allowed.
Greg Williams there. Plenty more footy news to come, including the latest from Leon Cameron on Brett Deledio. Better news than expected there for one of our very own on the Breakfast Club. We'll hear from him a little later on. But now to the NRL, and a big story dominating yesterday was, of course, Billy Slater, who announced his retirement from the game after 16 seasons with the Melbourne Storm. And it's been an unbelievable career spanning representative football as well as club football. He was asked about his highs and his lows and what it means, especially the success last year.
My debut was an extreme high for me. I was a four-year-old boy in North Queensland, started playing rugby league, but ever since I can remember, I loved the game. I grew up in a rugby league family, in a rugby league area, and that's all I wanted to do. Alan Langer was my hero. Playing for Queensland was a dream of mine. And playing in the NRL was a dream. And the day that I ran out in a Melbourne Storm jersey, we played the Cronulla Sharks at their home game, at their home ground in round one of 2003. Mum and Dad were in the grandstand. That was an extreme high for me, and it's probably my favourite ever game, just due to what I had to do to get there and what I wanted to be as a kid. Then we can go into State of Origin, wins, grand finals, playing for your country, winning World Cups. No, it's the whole 16 years has been a great journey that I'll look back on with fond memories.
And a low, it was just one low.
Oh, just one. Well, I spoke about it before. You know, my shoulder injury was an extreme low point. I still remember. I got a phone call from Tony Ayoub, our physio at the time. Oh, sorry, he wasn't our physio at the time. It was a guy who I went up to Sydney, and it was after I had my first shoulder surgery, and I'd played one game, and I went up and saw a surgeon in Sydney, and I flew home that night, and when I landed, I had a voicemail on my phone with
basically the outcome of that meeting up in Sydney. And I remember talking to Tony in the car, and I had to pull over. It was an extremely tough time for myself and my family, to know that I had to go in and get my shoulder reoperated on, and you know, sit out another 12 months. So you know, they're the tough things that I've gone through, but a lot of NRL players go through those things. You know, careers aren't, especially long ones, aren't full of ups. There are a lot of downs as well, but you know, when you go through those times of adversity and then you come through the other side, and the achievements that I achieved in 2017, you know, we went on to win a grand final, I played in a State of Origin winning series, and at the end of the year I was a part of the World Cup for Australia. So you know, to go through those tough times, they made those good times a lot sweeter.
Billy Slater there on his retirement yesterday. Craig Bellamy, you don't often see him, the emotional side of Craig Bellamy, except for when he's going mental in the box. But this was a really different side to the Melbourne Storm coach. Almost moved to tears at Billy Slater's press conference yesterday.
You know, it's a sad day in one way, without a doubt. You know, Billy Slater, you know, he's playing rugby league at the end of this year. Having said that, we should be celebrating what has been an unbelievable career. You know, 16 years he's been in Melbourne, and probably not talked about a whole heap, but I don't think there wouldn't be nowhere near as many kids playing rugby league in Victoria if Billy Slater hadn't played, you know, for the Melbourne Storm. And while he's been, everyone knows, you know, what he's done for our club. And Dave just mentioned it there. He's also done that for rugby league in Victoria. And sometimes that gets, you know, forgotten. He's been a great ambassador for our game, our club. He's been a great ambassador for Australia and Queensland. You know, as Dave said, just a wonderful, exciting player to watch, but also a real ornament for our game off the field.
Craig Bellamy speaking there yesterday. Just to stick with the NRL for the time being, Cameron Munster, also from the Melbourne Storm, was on TV last night on Fox Sports. Interestingly, he's playing number 6 at the moment, so 5'8". He has been shuffled around a little bit. Originally started at fullback when Billy Slater was injured, and says that's where he'd like to return.
Oh, if I want to probably go back to 1, I'd probably have to lose a couple of kilos. But I still love playing number 1. It's still my preferred position, to be completely honest with you, but at the end of the day, whatever team I'm playing for, just want to do my best for them, and just wherever they decide to put me in, just put my best foot forward. But it's hard to say. Like, we've got Kalen Ponga, Val Holmes playing some great footy, and they're playing great number 1. So I ended up playing in the World Cup for Australia, and then also playing for the Queensland Maroons this year at 5'8". So it's going to be a tough decision to decide what I want to do and what the club wants to do with me, mate, but... yeah, it's going to be hard, but I'll have to try and figure something out.
We'll see if he makes that move back to 1. He also told a pretty hilarious story last night about his first trial game and the first cook he got from Craig Bellamy. Have a listen.
I was terrible. One of my worst games ever played. trying that footage out. I think I ran out of here too slow. But, I was out, obviously. I was rooming with Ryan Hinchcliffe at the time. And I was up late until about 1 o'clock in the morning. You all would have heard about it, Tinder. So I was on Tinder.
Sorry?
Well, Fletch would know about it. Fletch knows all about it, but yeah.
I'm not aware of that.
I was trying to be a young guy, still young now, but like just, yeah, chasing tail, and I was until 1 o'clock. And, I honestly did not get lucky that night, and I ended up coming home, and Brian Hinchcliffe was in my bed, in his bed. And next morning I was talking to some of the boys and just having a chat to him and that. And Bellyach was obviously behind me and
listening
to it all. And he didn't say anything to me until he wanted to see how my performance was on the day, and played terrible. And he just questioned me if I really wanted to be there or otherwise go back to Rockhampton and dig holes.
Munster there. Very entertaining last night on Fox Sports. Plenty to come after the break, including some golf ahead of the US PGA starting this week. Tiger Woods will... update you on his Ryder Cup ambitions. A little bit of cricket with that second test between England and India starting very shortly. Some soccer with the big Usain Bolt story yesterday. And the rest of your footy news.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Oh, we'll see. You know, I've gone from zero to basically 20th in almost 7 months. As I said last week, I'm trending. So that's all I'm going to say.
Tiger Woods speaking yesterday ahead of his practice round with the USPGA Championship getting underway a little later on tonight, Australian time. We'll bring you updates all throughout the Breakfast Club tomorrow and Monday morning when the tournament reaches its climax. Now to some cricket. England play India in the second test. This is starting at Lord's tonight. Ollie Pope, now about 6 months ago, he was playing grade cricket in Sydney. Now he's playing test cricket for England. Here's how.
I think I had a really good winter. I went to Sydney, played grade cricket for Campbelltown, and I was sort of on my own 2 feet a bit, especially in terms of my cricket. I didn't really have a coach. I sort of had to go ask people to chuck balls at me sort of midweek. And I was, in terms of cricket, I was on my own 2 feet and had to work it out by myself, whether that be technical or actually just finding someone to train with me. But then playing week in, week out on Saturdays and Sundays, I think just getting to know my game a bit better.
Ollie Pope there, who'll make his test debut later on tonight. To soccer now. The Usain Bolt story dominated things yesterday. Central Coast Mariners CEO Sean Mielekamp here on the expectation of Usain Bolt.
Usain Bolt come to the club to train and hopefully develop into a professional football player is perfectly aligned to the club's philosophy. It's important, though, that we don't get too caught up in the hype of the possibilities. But the reality is that Usain Bolt has placed his faith in the Central Coast Mariners to accelerate his football journey. This must be tempered with the reality that there's a job to do for us. There's a lot of hard work ahead, and we're committed to still building a team that will win matches and instill belief in our community. Hopefully Usain can help us on this mission. We welcome Usain with open arms, and we'll always remain grounded and focused on the job at hand. Also look forward to seeing the Central Coast catching the attention of sports lovers all around the world.
Who would have thought? Sean Mielekamp there yesterday, the CEO of the Central Coast Mariners. And now to the rest of the footy news from yesterday. First of all, we'll hear from Leon Cameron on Brett Deledio's fitness after that injury on the weekend.
No doubt the first thing you think about is, you know, are you going to play again this year? They're just making sure that there's no tendon damage. Like when the tendon gets involved, it probably tends to be a bit longer. But right now, it doesn't seem to be the case. So we're probably mindful of his history. You know, normal little calf like that is probably a couple of weeks. But with Brett, with his history, you probably had another week or so. He's probably, you know, first week of finals. All going well.
Leon Cameron there. So good news for Brett Deledio. Season not over, aiming for the first week of finals. And now to Gary Ablett. He gave a tick yesterday for Tom Lynch and his character. Good to hear from one former Gold Coast skipper about another former Gold Coast skipper.
He's the kind of guy that doesn't have too many weaknesses in his game. You know, he's very good one-on-one, very good mark. You know, for a guy his size, he can run all day. And I think that's where, you know, defenders have struggled over the years on him. So, look, who knows? I mean, obviously, he's had a few injuries over the last couple of years. Hopefully, you know, he's able to get the knee right. I think he's injured the knee. But he's still young. He's got plenty of good footy left in him.
Couple of signings yesterday for the Saints, Jimmy Webster and Tim Membry both extending their time at St Kilda. Let's hear from them both now.
Last year we had a pretty good year. But yeah, like I said before, this year hasn't been great, but I feel like footy's a funny game and can turn around pretty quick. So hopefully next year we can play some good footy.
And I just know that you know, we can turn it around. Not going to be able to do that this year without playing finals, but I feel like everyone comes back to the club fit and healthy and you know, be ready to go, and it's going to be an exciting 2019.
David McKay from the Adelaide Crows plays his 200th game this week. Here is the Adelaide veteran on his time in the game and also a bit of an update on how the Crows are tracking.
Oh, look, it's pretty special. Yeah, I feel very lucky to
first of all, when an 18-year-old to come into this club, so to come in and the goal was to, you know, when you come in to play one game and then, you know, go from there. But, yeah, just feel very privileged. Oh, look, we're in discussions with the club at the moment, so that's probably something that will play out in the near future, obviously. But, yeah, I'm sort of having discussions with the club and talking about what next year looks like. Oh, look, you learn along the way to, I guess, shut out what's not important, and you do learn and realise what is important. And really, particularly the second half of my career, it's really just been about, you know, what feedback I'm getting from my coaches and what feedback I'm getting from my teammate. You know, obviously, it's such a passionate footy state. It's everywhere, so it is difficult at times. But, no, I think, look, it's one of those things you learn with experience as the time goes on that you can't take on too much of the negativity. Yeah, Mitch and Richard trained really well today, so yeah, I'd imagine they'll put their hand up. Daniel and I think Riley, they'll sort of be given a little bit longer throughout the week. Obviously, you know, going into a Saturday night game, you'll obviously have to do some training towards the back end of the week.
David McKay there yesterday ahead of his 200th this week. To David Parkin now, and the Blues, or ex-Blues coach, says it'll be a long road ahead for Carlton. Still a lot of work to do for Brendan Bolton.
But I would think it would take at least 2 years for them to get to the point where they can often beat teams that are going to play in the finals of those seasons. So that still puts them 4 or 5 years from being a definite, in my opinion, finalist, where they can play and win enough games to get in, but then also do some damage when they got there. I think it's a fair sort of a trek ahead.
Parko there speaking yesterday. Now, back to the NRL just before we hit the 6 o'clock news. Incredible interview last night on Fox Sports by the NRL 360 crew of the ex-Panthers coach Anthony Griffin. First of all, let's hear his thoughts on Gus Gould at the club.
Yeah, he's a very powerful man if you're going to be subservient to him. That's just who he is. He needs to be in control. I don't know. I'm not involved in board meetings, but I can tell you that he runs the club. It's his club. As far as your other point about the wins or the way that the last 3 years have gone and whether I'm old school or not. Again, as I said before, there's a hell of a lot as a head coach has got to do these days to build a club, to be able to produce a result every weekend, to be able to manage staff, to be able to care for young players, and to build a roster from within, because it takes patience and it takes a lot of time.
So it has been mooted that Ivan Cleary will be his replacement. What does Anthony Griffin think about that?
Oh, I think Ivan's a really good guy, good coach. I don't know how that dovetails in with the general manager again in the turnaround of philosophies.
They sacked him 3 years ago.
Yeah, but notwithstanding that, from Ivan's point of view, I think he's a champion guy. He's a great coach. He did a lot of hard yards out there over 4 years. I think it allows him to obviously unequivocally then keep Nathan, which I think is important for the club going forward.
And the chairperson of the Tigers, Marina Goh, had her say on her coach being approached when he's still in contract.
Oh, look, obviously I think that it's really poor form that the Panthers have approached our coach when he still has 2 years on his contract. But look, you know, I know that these things happen, and I actually don't really have anything to say to him, to be honest with you. I really don't. I mean, my focus is on my club. My priority is to the West Tigers and to making sure that we get on with business as usual, which is what we've been trying to do.
Stick around after 6 o'clock. A big Thursday edition of The Breakfast Club on its way. Half Whitey and Rama in to discuss all the sporting news from the last 24 hours. Sean Grigg from Richmond will be in the Inner Sanctum from 7 o'clock. Robbie Gray to jump on the phone as well, along with Ben Stratton. We'll have Scott Guller from the Herald Sun with all the latest footy news. We'll try and get your winner on the early mail and Andrew McGlashan early on too. He is over in England. following the test series between them and India. A few interesting talking points, including where Ben Stokes sits for the Poms at the moment. Stick around after six. It's news time.